Hey.
Hey.
You like comics?
Do you?
No.
I do sometimes.
Sometimes.
I have to sell them at work.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to touch them all the time.
I have to sell them on the internet.
You kind of do.
Yeah, I know that's pretty much what Doom Rocket is anymore. It's
Yeah.
like, "Hey, will you do something for my comic?" I'm like, "Sure, I'd be happy to." It's not like I have anything else to do with my time.
You like it.
I do like it, it's true. I like you.
No, you don't.
That's true also. Oh no. You're listening to Casual Wednesdays with Doom Rocket. I'm Jared Jones, and across the table from me, as always, is the fire to my ice, MJ Kramer. Hello, Kramer.
What?
Hello, Kramer.
You know, Chris Burnham would always call me Jay Cray for some weird reason.
Jay Cray.
So that made me think of that.
But he's missing the M.
I know, it's weird.
What happened to the M? You can't have the J without the M.
You'd always say Jay Cray.
No one ever calls you Jane.
No.
No one's ever called you Jane?
Every once in a while, Lyft and Uber drivers call me Jane because they misread the Molly Jane on the little app, and they'll say, "Hi, Jane." It's like, it's Molly Jane.
I kind of like it, Jane, because then we got the alliteration going. Jane and Jared.
That's true.
It is your name.
I like the MJJJ thing better.
Yeah, I guess that works too. Yeah. But anyway, here we are. Sorry about that week off, guys. We needed it, trust me. Personal stuff. Not going to get into it here. But we are back just in time for September solicits.
Yep.
And this is usually the part of the podcast where we would talk about news, but in this case, the news is the solicits.
The news is the comics.
Yeah. The medium is the message for all you Marshall McLuhan fans out there. Anyway, Marshall McLuhan. That's for another podcast. But yeah, we're here. We're going to skim through the solicits information that came out this past week. As we typically do, I think you know the drill by now. We highlight a couple of titles that we're looking forward to in the months to come and maybe learn a little something about ourselves. What do you say, MJ? Do you want to get into this?
Okay.
Well, who do you want to start with? Do you want to start with Image, DC, Marvel? What do you want to do?
Let's start with DC.
DC?
Yeah.
All right, so skimming the DC solicits for the month of September, what was the first thing that caught your eye?
Well, the first thing that caught my eye was the first thing that they had in the solicits, which was Wonder Woman Earth 1 Volume 2 hardcover, which brings back Grant Morrison, Yannick Paquette, and Nathan Fairbairn.
And probably you.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I don't know if you guys know this, but MJ has a cameo on the last page of the first edition of Wonder Woman Earth 1. It's awesome.
It's pretty funny. But I feel like Yannick posted all the little cameos that he drew in already. So I think if he had drawn me in again, I think he would have posted it.
That's fine. I'm definitely not in it. I'm never in it.
Well, he definitely drew in Jill Thompson, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Jill Thompson should be in a cameo for every Wonder Woman comic published, regardless if it's trade, graphic novel, or single issue.
Well, she definitely cameos in a lot of P. Craig Russell comics. Like, he draws her in all the time. Like the, what is it that disturbs you, Steven? Dr. Strange story? Yeah. She's totally one of the main characters in that. Like, you can see it. It's great. It's super cool.
She's also the Joker's daughter in Kingdom Come.
Azarello's in that. Tony Akins is in that. A lot of various Chicago Comics peeps show up in that. Because Alex Ross always has to use real humans to paint them.
I'm not mad about it.
But that comes out October 3rd. While I didn't... Like, the first one was a little weird in a couple places, but here's...
Oh, it's weird.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the second one, but... You know, with reservations.
How do you feel the Earth One as a hardcover graphic novel series has worked out? You think it needs a little more gestation? What do you think?
I don't. I'm surprised it's still going, but I haven't read it yet. But I heard that the Green Lantern Earth One book was good.
I haven't heard a thing about it.
Really? I heard good stuff about it. But yeah, I'm still looking forward to this because Yannick Paquette and Nathan Fairbairn drawing Wonder Woman. Even if the story is weird as fuck, it's going to look real cool.
Yeah, and not only that, though, I've been going through Morrison withdrawals. I didn't realize how much I missed him. I got that issue of Heavy Metal that came out this past week. I was like, oh, God, just hook it into my veins.
Is there anything that jumped out at you from these solicits?
It jumped out at me, not necessarily in a positive way. Heroes in Crisis. So we know now that Tom King's top secret DC event that was originally titled Sanctuary is... Now, Heroes in Crisis. It's an official, bona fide, existential crisis event akin to that of Identity Crisis.
Oh, hooray.
Yeah. Clayman is a magnificent artist. I love him to death. Having said that, this cover is bumming me out. I mean, I'm impressed by how many people he squashed into that image, but everyone's just frowning. Booster Gold is like got his arms folded and he's like, nobody likes me.
It's like, well, didn't you say that the little storyline that had Booster Gold in it in Batman that Tom King wrote, that it didn't really get the character right?
No, certainly didn't.
You can't be looking forward to Tom King writing another story with that character that's like focused on that.
Yeah, Booster Gold has a lot of pathos. Definitely has been through a lot of stuff. Dan Jurgens actually went back and revisited the character during a Booster Gold arc in Action Comics before he relinquished it to Mr. Bendis. And we got to touch on Michael Booster's relationship with his deadbeat dad and got to reunite with his mother, spoilers for that issue. And it was really touching and sweet. But that's about as deep and dark as you want Booster Gold to get. Now, I don't pretend to know what the hell's going to be going on in this series, but it's a crisis center for trauma victims, and the trauma victims in this circumstance happen to be superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, like, everything about this series doesn't interest me, except for the Clayman art.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Clayman draw anything.
Yeah. But anyway, you can expect that happy little gem to come out September 26th, $3.99 for 32 pages.
A 7-part series. Well, at least they're not bumping up the number one issues to $5 or $6 like Marvel.
But they are switching around their scheduling for a few books. Like Nightwing is going to monthly, or twice monthly.
And so is, was it Titans?
Mm-hmm.
But also there's no Cyborg in these solicitations as
well.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
It's weird.
Oh, I'm sure they're not going to cancel it.
I just would like them to not cancel it just to keep the line diverse. But
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's me.
And also giving Marv Wolfman work.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. But another thing that stands out in this month's solicits is all of the Vertigo content.
Yes, absolutely. We ran a quickie piece chasing that algorithm on the advent of the new Vertigo launch, which is the most energized and pumped DC's been about Vertigo in far too long. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting titles. We're a couple that caught your eye.
The Sandman stuff. The one-shot is going to be coming out in August, which is going to dip our toes into the water of the four ongoings that are going to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those ongoings are solicited here. The Dreaming, written by Cy Spurrier and with art by Bilquis Evely.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming out September 5th. And then House of Whispers, which seems like the most original thing to come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Nalo Hopkinson with art by Dominique Domo Stanton. That comes out September 12th. Pretty super excited about these two things.
Yeah. New Sandman's good for business, especially when they pull in such top-tier talent. Bilquis Evely on a book makes me excited.
Yeah, I don't know if any of y'all saw her cover for Harley Quinn this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's for Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's really pretty. It's weird to not see Amanda Connor on there, but mm-hmm. It's still cool.
Hey, if you're going to replace Amanda Connor with somebody, Bilquis Evely.
Heck yeah.
Holy crap, that's at the top of my list.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of other, like, Sandman backlist sort of stuff that they threw in here, too. Like, they're doing a new 30th anniversary edition of Sandman Volume 1, the trade paperback, which makes me wonder if they're redoing all of the trades.
Seems like they would.
I kind of hope not.
Why would they just reprint Nocturnes and Preludes and skip everything else?
I don't know, but there's the cover's real pretty. They're adding extra new introductions by Paul Dini, Patton Oswalt, Kelly Sue DeConnick, and more. It looks real cool. And there's an intro by Patrick Rothfuss, too. As a retailer, I don't want to have to deal with having orphaned copies of, like, the old printings, people not wanting to buy them and wanting the new ones and all that stuff. If they end up doing the whole line. That's all. But also they're doing a Sandman Omnibus Volume 3, which collects all of, like, the little side stories and everything, like Dream Hunters, which the Yoshitaka Amano version, which is great. Because that's been unavailable for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Sandman Overture, Endless Nights, Midnight Theater, the two Death miniseries. That looks pretty cool, and it's going to match like the trade dress of the first two. Yay. More things for Gaiman fans to spend all their money on.
Well, this is Vertigo adjacent, unfortunately, and it's not really technically a September solicit, but rather an October one. But we have the 30th anniversary for John Constantine rolling up, and DC is going to be putting out a oversized hardcover with an introduction written by none other than Sting.
Who was the visual inspiration for the character way back when.
DC slapped him in a trench coat and paid him like $10,000 to say like five things into a camera phone for 30 seconds.
That was real weird. That was real weird.
I thought it was the best moment of my life. I enjoyed it. I felt like everything had come full circle at that point. We could just call it a day.
Yeah.
But lest we forget, Border Town, number one, which is the first of this Vertigo line relaunch, written by Eric M. Esquivel and art by Ramon Villalobos, who's doing interiors. I think this is the first time he's done interiors on a consistent basis since Nighthawk.
I don't know.
Could that be?
I don't know.
But yeah, that's it. After that, it comes out on a monthly basis. You can look forward to Hexwives in October, et cetera, et cetera. What else did you like?
Well, I was going to mention before we left Vertigo, because this is still sort of Vertigo-esque, but it's not... I don't think it doesn't seem like it's going to be Vertigo. It seems like it's going to be Bendis' own thing, like Jinx World.
Yeah.
Bendis is writing a lot of comics.
Six titles as of September.
Yeah, four of which are his creator-owned things, part of the Jinx World thing. Two of them debuted, you know, are going to have debuted in August, which are Pearl and Scarlet. And then there are two more coming out in September. Cover, number one, Bendis writing art and cover by David Mack. And then there's United States versus Murder, Inc., which is Bendis writing with Michael Avon Emming on art. Both of those are six-issue minis. And it's funny because last month they solicited reprinting the United States of Murder, Inc. first trade.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, interesting. And now they're starting the series back up.
Yeah, what'd you think about
that? So crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Bendis is getting paid a lot of money for this since this, not only is he writing them, but they're his creator-owned things. I don't know, good for him, I guess, but cool. There's also going to be a Jinx World sampler, which is going to be $1 for 80 pages, pretty cool. And it's going to have like the first issues of the first Scarlet series, the first Power series, and the first United States of Murder series. 80 pages for $1 is pretty great.
You're pretty great.
Your butt's pretty green.
Oh, man.
Oh, and they're reprinting the Powers trades. They're reprinting the first Scarlet book. There's tons and tons of Bendis output coming up.
Matt Wagner's doing Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Issue number 55. Matt Wagner doing anything is exciting.
Well, just the art, not the writing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would prefer him do the writing and the art, but can't get everything.
No, I love a good Matt Wagner Batman. There was a while he was doing covers back like 10 years ago, maybe mm-hmm. longer. That was pretty cool.
One interesting little morsel, and I use the term interesting loosely, is that they're revamping Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I'm excited Pete Woods is going to be drawing.
Yeah, that's cool, but they're making it like grittier and evidently bloodier. It's fucking Jason Todd on the cover holding a crowbar caked in blood, because what else can we associate with this character?
Yeah, he's apparently like leaving the rest of his team.
Yeah, okay. No more Artemis, no more Bizarro. And you know what? Say what you want about Scott Lobdell. We certainly have, but I enjoy Red Hood and the Outlaws.
I know you do.
New 52 memories notwithstanding the negative feelings towards that arc. What he's been doing post-Rebirth has been pretty solid stuff. And Dexter Soy, I enjoy his art. I enjoy the book. I feel like DC's backpedaling on its Rebirth optimism a little bit.
Well, I think they're trying to serve all audiences, which isn't necessarily bad. But they are definitely trying, with all of their various imprints and all the stuff, they're trying to cater to all the audiences they possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Including the mopey ones?
Yeah. I mean, as long as they keep material available that is not like that and it's going to appeal to other tastes, then cool. It's just when everything is all gritty and dumb like that, that's when it's bad.
You got Doomsday Clock, issue 7, coming out in September. Heroes in Crisis.
Well, speaking of Doomsday Clock, it seems like they're finally going to maybe reveal some of Dr. Manhattan's involvement.
Involvement? The implication is that he started the New 52 universe.
Yeah, so I'm saying like they're actually going to reveal it looks like, in this issue.
Let's follow that to its like most hilarious extreme. Dr. Manhattan, so disillusioned by humanity by the end of Watchmen, decided, fuck it, I'm gonna go and make my own world. And the first thing that occurred to him was uber violence, big boobs, and decided, poof, New 52.
There are worse ways to kind of retcon the New 52. There really are.
I got one. You want to hear it?
A worse way?
I don't know about worse, but I think it would work. Pretend it never fucking happened and move on with our lives.
But it's superhero comics. You can't totally do that.
One more from DC. MJ, what do you got?
Well, I've got the very final issue of Mr. Miracle coming out. Mr. Miracle number 12. Also, there's going to be an absolute hardcover of Day Tripper by Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty exciting. They won a bunch of Eisners for that. So having that in a fancy hardcover slipcase edition is exciting. I don't know if this is stuff that I necessarily liked, but there are a lot of books that are shipping twice monthly from Marvel here. We've got Avengers shipping twice. We've got Amazing Spider-Man shipping twice. Actually, three times if you include the annual.
Ugh.
Which, that is not what annuals are for.
And people are not made of money, damn it.
Yeah. Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man is shipping twice. But one of those issues, Chip is both writing and doing the art for, so that's pretty fun.
Did he not do the art for this last Marvel 2-in-1 annual?
No, that was Declan Shalvey, wasn't it?
That's right, but he did do the cover.
Yes.
All right, I knew that.
So there's two of that. There's two issues of Spider-Man Deadpool coming out.
Hey, did you want to make fun of Asgardians of the Galaxy?
No.
Oh, come on, just a little?
I kind of think that might look fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm a sucker for Thor and all the surrounding continuity of Thor. Mm-hmm. So that might be fun.
I think Marvel's pulling a Goldblum and accentuating how much Asgard sounds like Asgard.
You think so?
But I think they're tempting fate with that title. But
I think that's just how it sounds like Guardians. Asgardians. As usual, X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue are double shipping, but apparently they're both ending.
Yeah, isn't that weird? But X-Men Red remains.
Yeah, that's okay because that's the best one of the bunch.
People do really seem to be enjoying
that. That one can stay. They finally revealed what that X-Classified thing is.
What is it?
You hear about this?
No.
So the issue that comes out today of X-Men Gold is like the Kitty Colossus wedding issue. Well, turns out, spoilers everybody, fast forward about, I don't know, 30 seconds if you want to not hear.
Wait, you're
going to
spoil me?
You don't care.
Actually, I don't.
So Kitty and Colossus don't get married. There's some thing where Kitty's like, oh, I don't really want to get married. I don't really want this.
Oh boy, that was worth it.
But what ends up happening is that Rogue and Gambit decide, hey, we've got a minister here. Rogue and Gambit get married. So this X-Classified thing is a comic called Mr. and Mrs. X that Kelly Thompson is going to be writing.
Cool.
And it's just going to be Rogue and Gambit together. And the series that she wrote, that Kelly Thompson wrote, the Rogue and Gambit series, that miniseries, was excellent. Really fun. So I'm actually kind of cool with this. Kind of excited about it.
Yeah, sure.
So that's what that X-Classified shit was.
That's so lame.
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
And they only just announced what it is, and they are soliciting the third issue in here. That is not nice.
Goofus poofus.
Yeah.
Here's a Marvel book I'm excited for. Captain America Annual Number 1.
That should be fun.
Art by Chris Sprouse, who should always do a Captain America book, I feel. And written by one Teenie Howard.
Yeah, apparently she's the first lady to write Captain America since like the Golden Age.
Mm-hmm.
So yay Teenie.
Yeah, Teenie. Teenie! Of course, Ryan Cady, is going to be doing the Old Man Logan Annual, which he'll be doing with Simone DeMayo and Hayden Sherman.
That's cool.
I feel like the next generation of comic book creators are really starting to come up, and that's exciting, because these are they're like our age, so, you know, it's heartening to watch.
I think they're a little younger than us, aren't they?
Some of them.
I think they are.
Randy Candy's definitely younger than me.
One thing that I found to be rather exciting is that, I mean, it's bittersweet, I guess.
What?
Runaways with issue 13 is getting a new artist. I am very sad to see Chris Anka leave.
But he's probably moving on to something huge.
But if anybody is going to replace him, David LaFuente is a fucking fantastic choice.
Heard that.
So that's exciting. Exciting but sad. So, yeah. Issue 13, David LaFuente, arting on Runaways.
The only other book that I'm actually kind of semi-invested in is Multiple Man. Issue number 4 solicits. It's funny, we're talking about a book that hasn't even dropped yet, and we're already talking about the end of it. Just like we're talking about fall, and we're in the throes of summer. But Multiple Man, I think they're actually going to let Rosenberg go full Rosenberg on this. Like, go, like, four kids walk into a bank style, or we can never go home kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of pathos, lots of idiosyncrasies, a lot of poignancy. I'm excited for it.
And just something else jumped out at me. Exiles number 8. Salih and Abed is still going to be writing, but old Joe Quiñones is going to be doing the art.
Oh, Joe?
Which is pretty great.
There you go, Joe.
And Marvel announced months and months ago that they got the rights for Conan back.
Yeah.
And in here we've got a reprint of a Conan, old Conan stuff, but it's Conan the Barbarian Omnibus Volume 1 hardcover. And this is shit from like the 70s. This is pretty cool. So like Roy Thomas, Barry Windsor Smith, John Jakes, Michael Moorcock. Yeah, crazy. Gil Kane and John Buscema. Pretty cool stuff. A lot of like super cool early 70s classic stuff. Just one more thing from Marvel that I want to mention is the X-Men, Cyclops, and Phoenix Past and Future trade paperback. This is some of Gene Ha's first superhero work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting that it's back in print.
Gene!
But it's written by Scott Lobdell, Peter Milligan, and Tom DeFalco, and penciled by Gene Ha, Jean-Paul Lyon, and Kyle Hotz.
That's a stacked deck.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
All right, let's move it over to Image Comics.
Yes, let's.
Image has a lot of crap.
coming out. It was just a lot of stuff, yeah.
I didn't mean to say crap. That's not what I meant.
You just meant like the collective.
Yeah. Crap. Oh, stuff. Yeah. You know.
Things.
Lots of it. Scotty Young's got a new book.
Yeah.
Bully Wars.
That dude is definitely expanding his writing resume. Dang.
Probably bought a house or something.
But I mean, like, it's cool that he's writing so much. Like, good for him. Definitely. He can do more if he's writing than if he's just drawing. Written by Scotty Young with art by the great Aaron Conley. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an all-ages book, which is cool.
Like, Image is cranking out more of those these days.
They don't have a lot of all-ages stuff. Like, most of their stuff is adult or really adult.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're expanding into the you know, fodder for the younger set.
Maybe they'll have a better market share from the Barnes & Noble sales.
It could be.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be, might. Maneaters reunites the creative team of Mockingbird.
Yes. I'm pretty excited about this. This is probably the thing that I've seen closest to the vein of Bitch Planet, like, in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a mutation in toxoplasmosis causes menstruating women to turn into ferocious killer wildcats, easily provoked and extremely dangerous. As panic spreads and paranoia takes root, the fate of the world rides on the shoulders of one 12-year-old girl. Part cat people and part The Handmaid's Tale, Maneaters will have everyone talking.
It's Angel Cat Bird, but for the adult set.
I think it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, there's it sounds pretty dope.
There's going to be a glitter variant cover.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Mockingbird a lot. It was really fun.
You're going to hate that glitter variant when you have to vacuum up all that damn glitter when you receive them.
We shall see.
We shall see.
I'm pretty excited for that one.
Joe Casey's got a new book with the most obnoxious title ever, MCMLXXV. I'm going to have to find a way to say that.
Okay, so what year is that?
How the hell should I know?
Well, I thought as a movie fan, don't you have to learn Roman numerals so you can tell what year movies are from?
You're a numeral. 1975.
Okay, 1975.
Mm-hmm. But cool. Anyway, the art catches my eye. I'm not too familiar with Ian McEwan. McEwan?
He's got the same name as a famous novelist, I know that.
Yeah, I Googled him and that's what came up first. Yeah, but he's got like a Villa-Lobos thing going on. I like it. So mm-hmm. I'll definitely check that out when it happens.
And Steve Niles and Marcelo Frusine are taking over Kick-Ass with issue number 7.
That's true. We got the Lemire debut on Hit Girl coming out.
Yeah, that's this week. Yeah. Along with Eduardo Risso, which mm-hmm. is funny because Moonshine, also an Eduardo Risso gig, comes out today too.
Yeah, busy man.
Yeah.
Warren Ellis has a book with Jason Howard, Cemetery Beach.
That one looks really cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the dudes that did Trees, right?
Yes, which was a cool and weird series. This new one looks really weird too. But, you know, it's Ellis. It's going to be a little off.
Yeah. This is the one that I'm very excited about. My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. And I think it's just the two. I didn't see Betty Britweiser's name attached to this.
No.
But it's an original graphic novel, Arise Fully Formed.
It's really short, though. It's only like 70-something pages.
72 pages, yeah.
I don't know. Because sometimes priced that high for only that many pages, people don't necessarily want to spend it. But we'll see.
But consider the pedigree.
True.
I mean, Kill or Be Killed will be long gone at that point. You know, I'd be ready to move on to the next one. While it's not The New Criminal, I'll take this. And I think you will, too.
I don't think it's going to be bad. I'm kind of annoyed that it's going to be so short. That's all.
And expensive.
Yeah.
It's a hardcover.
Yeah, but it's tiny.
How much does DC charge for those Earth One hardcovers when they come out?
Those have hella more than 70-something pages.
Like 90 pages.
No, they're like double the size.
I'm looking it up. Throwing shade at Brubaker. For shame. Earth One. Not Earthy One. Damn, you learn how to type. What's an Earth One? The new Wonder Woman book. $16.99.
For how many pages?
136 to 144 pages. Okay, fine. Point taken. It is an expensive-ass book. We get a discount. What are you worried about?
It's an expensive-ass book.
Oh, man.
There is one thing at least I need to mention. The Wicked and the Divine 1373 one-shot.
Oh, another one-shot, eh?
Yes.
Who's doing the art?
Ryan Kelly on this one.
Hmm.
He worked with Kieran Gillen on a miniseries called Three a few years ago.
That was the Spartan book.
It was set in ancient Greece, yeah.
Yeah.
This one looks cool. Set in Europe at some point in 1373. I'm excited for it. I love those one-shots. They're big and meaty and good.
Big, meaty, and good.
Yeah.
Are you hungry? going on here? I don't know if Dark Horse has their solicits out. Let me check my inbox real quick. As we're recording, it's 9:30 in the morning Central Time.
I can mention more Image things while we're waiting.
Yeah, yeah,
Monsters
you go ahead.
Volume 3 comes out. Saga Volume 9 comes out.
Dead Hand Volume 1 comes out.
Walking Dead Volume 30 comes out. So these are longstanding series that sell well and will do well with these new trade paperbacks. So
we'll throw a shout out to Silver Sprocket. The new Dayglow A-Hole edition comes out in September by Ben Passmore.
They did solicit that last month, though. So if you were looking at your previews...
They push things around. They're busy. They're making moves. Don't give them too hard a time. Fuck Off Squad by Dave Baker and Nicole Gow. Handsome People, Here I Come by Mr. Hayden. Seems pretty cute. It's got a skeleton with a hot dog through his eye sockets. And a banana coming out of his nose. Snowbird by Aaron K. Wilson.
Silver Sprocket has a very ambitious schedule here. It's really exciting to see how much they've grown in just the last year.
They knocked it out last time when they announced their summer release. They got everything out relatively on time.
It's just this is more than they had then. And it's looks like really good quality stuff. I'm just excited about all their output.
And they're nice people. We got mm-hmm. to meet them at Cake this year. They were great. Dark Horse does not have their solicits out as yet. But the few things that they announced, we got Beasts of Burden. It'll have Wise Dogs and Eldritch Men. Issue number 2 comes out in September. Cover by one Benjamin Dewey.
And interiors.
That's right. More American Gods. They're really squeezing that for every dime they can get out of it.
They're just stretching it out.
Because
they already finished one series of it that came out in hardcover, and that was kind of like the first... I think that was the first third of the book.
Yeah.
Because the novel itself is split into three sections. So that's kind of what seems like they're doing as far as the series go.
It seems like what you're doing.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't mean it. I take it back. All right. Anything from September solicits that we haven't talked about that you want to get in before we do the top five?
Well, Boom announced their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Marguerite Bennett is going to be taking over the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers book and then doing a second one, which is interesting. I didn't see that coming. A new series is coming out called Low Road West, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, who I guess must have co-written The Power of the Dark Crystal. This series looks cool. It looks like a little post-apocalyptic, but otherwise okay. They're doing another Giant Days hardcover, which I will be getting.
That's the Not on the Test edition,
yeah, the
volume
third,
two.
Third volume.
Third volume.
The first trade for Coda comes out in September. They did this for Fence, and now they're doing that for this, where they're doing this little quick four-issue volume one that's only $10. And they're calling it their Discover Now edition. And they do a really small print run on it, so it's hard to get back in stock.
Mm.
I very much appreciate them trying to get trade paperbacks out quicker, because Boom is notorious for taking way too long to get their trade paperbacks out. Doing that helps, build momentum for a series.
Yeah.
Like a person can pick up the first four issues for the $10 and then jump back in on the single issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're building a better audience when you do that. So thank you, Boom. Do it more often, please.
Yeah, Boom. All right, MJ, we got to do our top five. You ready for it?
Well, I guess.
Well, I guess we're going to make it happen.
You didn't mention the Wet Hot American Summer original graphic novel.
Well, you just did.
I figured you would. That's your thing.
Top five. All right, MJ, I'll kick us off this week, if you don't mind.
What if I do mind?
Well, then, by all means, it's all you. You have the floor.
Yeah, you go ahead. It's fine.
Okay. Well, the first one I'm going to pick is Crude number 3 from Image Comics, written by the inimitable Steve Orlando, art by Gary Brown, colors by Lee Luffridge, and letters by Thomas Maurer. You want a hard-hitting revenge tale that hits you right in the feels? Crude is your book. Check it out. That's my first pick of this week. MJ, what's next for you?
Well, my first pick is Black Hammer Age of Doom number 3. From Dark Horse.
I almost put this one on my list.
Written by Jeff Lemire, art by Dean Ormston, colors by Dave Stewart, letters by Todd Klein. I really love this book. It's getting really on the nose with its analogs. The last issue ended with an analog for Dream, for Morpheus
yes.
from Sandman. This one introduces the entire Endless, all of the Endless. It's just real on the nose.
It's
funny. It's great, and I love it. What's your next one, Jones?
My next one is Punk's Not Dead, number 5. Written by David Barnett, art by Martin Simmons, colors, or color flatting, I should say, by Dee Kniff, and letters by Aditya Bidikar from Black Crown and IDW Publishing. Punk's Not Dead, unequivocal success. I think it does pretty well money-wise, too. Good for them. I enjoyed this book immensely. You should read it if you haven't. This is the penultimate issue. The first arc of Punk's Not Dead closes out next month. So be sure not to be left out in the cold. Read it. Punk's Not Dead, number 5. My next pick. MJ, what's next for you?
My next pick is Gideon Falls, number 4.
See, I wanted that on mine, too.
Hey, you had something on yours that I wanted on mine, and I took it off. Written by Jeff Lemire, art by Andrea Sorrentino, colors by Dave Stewart again, letters and design by Steve Wands, Will Dennis editor. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Will Dennis was editing this. That explains a lot. He's great.
So good.
With its Lynchian scariness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
It's good.
What's your next one?
I got a scary one for you. Infidel, boo.
That's the one that I took off my list because I thought it was on yours.
Did I scare you?
No.
When I pulled it from the table? Yeah. I am going to butcher this man's name. Written by Pornsack Pichetchort.
I don't know.
Art by Aaron Campbell. Colors by Jose Villarubia. And letters and design by Jeff Powell. Infidel is a damn scary book.
No, it's very scary. I think it's interesting that you had that right after Gideon Falls because the unease in both is palpable.
I think that horror comics are doing very well lately. I think we're tapping into societal unease right now, and that's when the best horror gets made, so I'm all about it. Yeah. Infidel, number 4, read it. Get caught up on this. This is a hell of a book. MJ, what's next for you?
Okay, I have, my next one is something that I know you have on your list, but fuck it, I have it on mine anyway.
What?
Shanghai Red number
1. Oh, yeah, Shanghai Red.
Pretty stoked about this one. Mr. Christopher Sabella, script and design, art, colors, and cover by Joshua Hickson. And letters by Hassan Otsmana Elhau. This looks super fun. It looks like an enjoyable read.
Have you read it yet?
No.
I read it.
I like to wait even... I know we have previews and shit of it, but I'm waiting to read it because I like to read the physical
copy. No, I feel you on that. Usually I do that too, but like I mean, we did an advanced review of this, so I had to read it. It's harrowing.
Yeah.
But it's good. Oh my God, it's good. It's like really atmospheric.
They've been working on it for years, right?
For 4 years, they've been working on this thing, and it taps into the very real Portland tunnels that used to funnel human beings out towards Shanghai for the purposes of human slavery. Back in the 1800s, Chris Sabella, very fascinated by the histories of Portland, put it together in a fantastic book. MJ, that's a good call. We share that. That's our next pick this week, and I'm going to put it back to you.
Oh, my next pick, then, is going to be Runaways number 10. Switching over to Marvel, written by Rainbow Rowell, art by Chris Anka, colors by Matthew Wilson, letters by VC's Joe Caramagna. I love Runaway so much. It is one of the few comics that just like makes me smile, but also makes me sad.
Oh, man.
Makes me happy and makes me laugh and cry and all that shit.
Have a good cry.
It's runs the emotional spectrum.
Ooh.
It's really well written. Seeing these characters written and drawn so well is a such a joy.
Whatever Chris Anka's doing after this book is going to be huge. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way Marvel would put him on anything else that
well,
would...
Well, I mean, not necessarily Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see some creator-owned shit from that guy.
Yeah.
Because
he deserves the cheddar.
Marvel ain't enough for him.
Yeah, definitely.
He should be doing fantastic, amazing things over at Image and owning every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing him on a DC book, though. I mean, I could use my imagination. He draws very pretty people.
He'd be great in a Nightwing book.
That's exactly where I was going with this. He'd be awesome on Nightwing, but, you know, it's fine.
What's your next pick?
It's my last pick. It's also a Marvel book. Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man Annual number 1, written by Chip Zdarsky, art by Mike Allred.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a bunch of other people, I presume. I don't have the book in front of me.
I think it was all just Mike Allred and Laura Allred.
Yeah, but he didn't letter it.
True.
Probably like Corey Petit or Pettit or Josephino or Jim Campbell or one of those guys.
Don't we have that one here?
If we do, you've hidden it. MJ does this thing when she brings comics home on Monday nights because G-Mart does their filing on Monday nights. She'll bring comics for us to read, but comics she doesn't want me to read. I don't know if it's out of spite or if she's just being a snot, but she'll hide them from me, or she'll hoard them from me. And so
because
I just have to
Jared
wait.
Does the same thing with his books.
I just want to read.
He takes them and he hides them in places.
I'll pull out the books that I want to read that night, and then everything else goes on the coffee table so you can look at them too.
But then you don't read them and you squirrel them away and I can't find them. I don't have that one because I already read it. Mm. The Peter Parker annual.
Well, I haven't read it. Was it good?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I did.
I'm so glad for you. Well, anyway, that's my last pick. MJ, what's next for you?
My last pick is making its triumphant return, but this time at Lion Forge instead of Dark Horse, is May.
May.
Which is, Lion Forge is this weird thing where they kind of like double number things. So it's number 7, but it's also volume 2, number 1.
Marvel's doing it too. They give the issue number and then the legacy number.
But like, it makes sense for like legacy numbering when it's like been 600 something issues.
Yeah.
When it's only issue 7.
That is definitely going to confuse people,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So this is volume 2, number 1, issue 7. This picks up right where the trade paperback left off at issue 6. It's real fun. May is with her sister Abby. And they are just traipsing about, having adventures.
Having a little traipse.
They come across an old friend of Abby's and dramatics ensue. I read this a long time ago.
Yeah, well, he was in between publishers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, sure.
But I read it. It's fun. The art's obviously great.
I'm looking forward to another issue of May coming out rather shortly. I can't put my finger on it, but somebody
I
know.
Is it the Mark Waid one?
You know?
It's Mark Waid one, right?
Yeah, ginger person.
Mark Waid.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Beautiful, ravishing smile.
Mark Waid.
Totally Mark Waid. All right. Every week, we take to social media to ask you guys a pressing question on our minds. And this week's question, what comic book series or characters never given a live-action treatment would you like to see adapted, and in what medium? That's a special thanks to Clyde Hall, contributing writer here at Doom Rocket, for providing the question. Thank you, Clyde. MJ, would you like to start us off?
Sure. Speak of the Devil, Gene Ha posted a cover from Bone and said animated, preferably 2D.
Over on Facebook, Maria Ludwig said Paper Girls as an animated series styled like an 80s Saturday morning cartoon, but with more than one background to run past.
L. Collins, who's at another L on Twitter, said Sophie Campbell's Wet Moon as a prestige TV series, that or a Midnighter movie inspired by Orlando and Echo. Basically a super gay John Wick in a mask. Yes, please.
Christopher Sabila on Facebook said, Black Hole as a 10-episode prestige TV season with David Fincher directing.
Jake Mason on Twitter, at JJ_Mason, said, I'd love to see a planetary TV show on Netflix or Hulu, especially if they added in some TV show homages too. Like, what's the planetary equivalent of Buffy? That's a cool idea.
Back on Facebook, Jesse Devereaux said, Saga as a Jim Henson puppet film a la Dark Crystal.
Charlie Athanas, it's at Charlie_Athanas. Love and Rockets in a series format like True Detective, from Maggie the Mechanic to Speedy Ortiz to The Adventures of Penny Century and more.
On Twitter, Erica Price at Erica Price Art said, okay, so the character has been done, but the series hasn't. Hellblazer, proper Hellblazer set in the 80s Britain based off the Delano and Ennis runs, with all the political satire still in there.
And on Facebook, Matt Strawbridge said, Allred's Madman has been optioned and talked about for years. It would be really nice to see it done. Kyle Fegley on Facebook said, in all caps, Jack Knight Starman as legit prestige TV.
Alec Farrell on Facebook said, Jason Blood Etrigan would be something on a live adaptation in Globe Theater, but a series would be a fine way to tell the story.
And on Facebook, Julia Capra said, Sex Crims Escape Room.
I gotta give this one to Arpad on Facebook said, make an old school 3 or 4 episode miniseries out of Brian Talbot's The Tale of One Bad Rat. CGI the Ghost Rat, animate a few moments of reality busting in the storybook sequence, otherwise cast well and not from a pool of already overused talent and shoot on location. It's a great story, it's not well known, now's a good time for it to be retold. And he goes on, actually fuck it, rotoscope the whole thing, go heavy existential on the panic attack moments, and the giant rap companion in the storybook shit will all look the same as reality, which is perfect. That's our bad.
Jennifer Yasalis Randall on Facebook said, I'd absolutely love to see Strangers in Paradise as a TV series. Now is a good time for Transmetropolitan to be a series, and We Three as a feature-length film.
And one last one, Derek W. Branham on Facebook said, The Legion of Superheroes as a weekly TV series like Legion, or Injection as an HBO or Netflix series, True Detective-esque. Thanks everyone for your responses, they were all great, wish we had time for them all. But in the meantime, look out for that hashtag, Casual Wednesdays. You got anything else to add to this, MJ?
Nope.
Not even one thing.
Nope. Not even the tiniest bit.
Are you looking forward to New Comic Book Day today?
It's a great week for Image Comics.
It is. It's a big week.
Yeah.
How many did we put in our top five for crying out loud?
A lot. Actually, I didn't have any DC in mind and only one Marvel.
Neither did I.
Yeah. You didn't even have any DC?
No DC.
It's oh, my God.
It's a topsy-turvy world.
Jared, what's the matter?
I know, in the new Justice League. Oh, there's a plane. And that's it. That's all the time we have for this installment of Casual Wednesdays. Need more of this dweeby little podcast in your life? Check out our 59-episode archive over on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. But rate and subscribe. We see you on Stitcher, guys. If you like us over there, give us a rating. Subscribe if you haven't already. Tell us how we're doing or search Casual Wednesdays over at DoomRocket.com. New episodes every Wednesday afternoon, and a shout out to our sister podcast, Casual Fridays, which comes out every intermittent Friday, talking about movies that are comic book adjacent.
Once a month or so.
And look us up on Twitter. I'm at @JaredJones_MJ. Where can they find you?
At @MollyJane_K.
Don't leave me in suspense. And that's it. So until the day Marvel smartens up and gives us that Blade Vampirella crossover I have bombing around in my head, I remain Jared, that's MJ, and from all of us here at DoomRocket.com, have a great new comic book day. Oh my God, I have to pee.